Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. It's the Wicked Wednesday. The fallout from the Olympics continues as Team USA goes to the State of the Union address, goes to the White House. The political outrage and fake rage and every other rage continues on all sides. The fallout continues as far as what went wrong for Team Canada. Although I don't really think so many things went wrong for Team Canada. I just don't think the puck went in the net. I think, you know, you got to give credit to Connor Hellebuck, who received the Medal of Freedom. Who received the Medal of Freedom. Amazing. He goes from a player that everybody says is a big choker to the Medal of Freedom, which is like one of the rarest honors to get in the United States of America. And the fallout continues. And we talked about this going into the Olympics a lot, about if you're a hot team, this is a nightmare. You're shutting your team down for a couple of weeks. Like the Buffalo Sabres were smoking hot. But are they still going to be smoking hot now? Like they almost, like it's almost like starting over right now. The Kings lose Fiala for the year, and the Pittsburgh Penguins, who were overachieving and surprising people this year, now officially will not have Sidney Crosby for about a month. And I bring this up because, of course, Dr. David Chow, who is a regular on the grid, longtime San Diego Charger team doctor, now has his own website, Pro Football Doc, and also famously known for nearly getting attacked by Ryan Leaf at this year's Super Bowl. But Pro Football Doc, you know, he does football stuff, but he's expanded a bit. And, you know, he'll post, like, you know, when somebody goes down in the NBA or something, so a big star, he'll give his opinion on it. And he gave his opinion immediately after the Crosby injury. And Chow said, I think it's a torn MCL, not season ending, but he won't be able to play for 3-4 weeks. And Darren Dreger, TSN's Darren Dreger, went on immediately and called him unprofessional. And how the hell would you know a prognosis from 6,000 miles away? And if you're a doctor, how are you giving fake prognosis is on the internet? Dr. Chow was pretty graceful and said, well, I was actually a team doctor in the NFL for 23 years. And I know I don't have to be there to see, to know what something happened, right? Like, you know, when he was respectfully telling them, listen, like, I don't need to be there to tell you what happened to Crosby. And Dreger basically was unprofessional and unbecoming, and it's not true. And, you know, you're speculating. That was the whole thing. You're speculating. And then Cooper, what was Cooper's quote? Cooper was, Crosby is still going to be a part of this team, or Crosby, you know, he never said he was going to play. And I was able to read between the lines. Like, he basically said, and I was like, yeah, he's going to be part of the team. He's going to be in the room type of thing. I get it. But the fact that people, including the Canadian media, stole this little thing that Crosby might play in the semifinal or the final was a complete fabrication. Crosby was never playing. They knew that he had a torn MCL. Dr. Chow was right. And they were just upset. And I don't even think Dreger was upset that it was like a scoop that he didn't have, because Dreger knew and wasn't going to tell us. So basically, if you're, you know, if I had Darren Dreger, and it's not a personal attack on him, this is an attack on the system, basically, but, and the hockey media as a whole. So Dreger, you either knew that Crosby had a torn MCL immediately and that Dr. Chow was right, and still played this up, oh, he's going to give it the old call a try and try to play. Or you really didn't know, and you're not an insider at all, and Dr. Chow knows more by being 6,000 miles away. And I know that's not the case, right? Team Canada wasn't going to bitch it at Dreger. They needed somebody to do it, so he did it for them. So it just goes to show, basically, like, whatever, dude. Like, LeBron and Dreger are good guys and stuff, but they're standing up there knowing that Crosby's going to be out for a month, but they didn't tell you. Because they didn't want to upset the Pittsburgh Penguins. They didn't want to upset Cooper or Hockey Canada or Crosby, who told them not to tell people. Right? It could have been Crosby that told him, listen, the Penguins don't know the severity of this yet. I think that's, I personally, that's my bet that it happened and they were like, damn, how severe is this? We don't really know for sure. Let's get it looked at. And then Chow just goes on the internet and says, boom, this is what it is. And, you know, it's sort of like, you know, you got to notify the parents, you know, you notify the family first when someone dies, you know what I'm saying? I don't think the Penguins were notified. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think the Penguins were like told, like, this is exactly what it is. We got the prognosis. Cause I don't think Canada really knew either. Right. It happened right away. So long story short, Dr. Chow caused a lot of problems for Team Canada. He really did. And ultimately he is right. And I'm not going to name names, but I actually got private messages from people in the hockey media themselves who were laughing their asses off on my rant about covering things up. And they were like, man, I always crack up whenever you expose this. And I'm thinking, yeah, well, you know, too. So I don't know how much better you are, but it's not your job. So anyway, it's like,
that's a good one.
Yeah, I'm thinking, well, it's not like you don't know everything. I know, and you would know more than these people would. So I just think it's funny. And I'm sure Dreger thinks I'm a jerk because I'm including him in his tweets right now. But like, I just wanted to point out that Dreger knew all along it was right. And it's a lot like, and I'll bring Babano and Cam in. I don't know if you guys remember this, but who was the dude? Who was the guy on the Kings, Babano, that got traded to Montreal?
Philip Deneau?
Yeah,
Deneau.
So there was a reporter. There's a guy in Montreal. He's got a talk show. I don't know the guy. He's a newer guy. Like, yeah, he wasn't on when I was there. Marco D'Amico, I think his name is. Yeah, Marco D'Amico. Yeah, he's got a lot of followers. Like, he's got like a Hab show. Like, he's focused on.
I think
on
Jimmy Murphy was kind of like his mentor coming into the reporting business.
Yeah, yeah,
Hab.
Exactly. Like, yeah. He knows. Yeah, yeah. Jimmy's part of that crew in Montreal, like Mitch Melnick and all those guys. Exactly. So, like, So this guy, D'Amico, whatever, he's pretty good at what he does. Like, he's got a shitload of followers, like, covers the Canadians and stuff. And he said that Deneau is unhappy in LA and wants to be in Montreal. That Alan Walsh guy on Twitter, on X, that NHL agent that's always online, always calling everyone out. He tweets at D'Amico and he said anything for clicks, I guess. He goes, this couldn't be furthest from the truth. And he said, leave the insiders to the real insiders. And he even included like LeBron and Dreger and all these guys in the tweet. And he said, you're just some wannabe talk show host. You're no insider. Yeah, whatever, dude. Like 5 days later, he got traded to the Montreal Canadiens.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, he got traded to the Canes. The Alan Walsh guy never apologized after. You know what I mean? He never said, oh, yeah, by the way. All he said is, it's my job to protect my clients. I agree with that. But you took a personal attack at this guy and said he's not an insider and you're a fake. Like, that's garbage. Why would you like try to ruin the kid's reputation?
And
like
Marco
that?
Just and, got the ultimate flex with that trade actually coming to fruition and happening.
Yeah, and he was pretty cool about it after. He really could have slammed down, but he took the classy route after and really didn't say much about it. I did, and I didn't even know the Marco guy. I tweeted it out. I said, Alan, who's the insider now? Right? Yeah.
No, honestly, apology Ramsey, coming? You got to apologize.
My point is, Cam, just with Dreger now, Dreger won't tweet Chow and go, you know what? Yeah, you were actually right last month.
No, you're right.
Just be mad that Chow got it right. That's my whole point.
Chow days ago said sometime in March, and what do we find out today?
Chow nailed it.
He nailed it by watching a video for 30 seconds on the spot.
Yeah.
Just point blank. And it bothers everyone that he did that. And then he told everybody.
That's why he's built a post, team doctor career for himself, Chow. Because he's a very good.
These guys are coming at Chow.
Guys, listen to this, though. If, let's say with the Olympics coming up, a great example. Let's say with the Olympics are coming up in 2028 in the Summer Olympics. NFL players are in the Olympics. If Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback and he's one of the players on Team USA and he tears his MCL, do you think Adam Schefter is going to sit on that? Adam Schefter would be on X Twitter so freaky, he'd be faster than Usain.
He'd be salivating like a dog over a bone.
Because like, that's his job. He'd be like, all right, I'm the first one to tell you this. Like, that's the job in the USA. Like, we got to be first. Like, no, everyone knows after. It's easy to report after. So, like, so now Dreger and LeBron are going to come on today on TV and talk like they're experts about Crosby's injury when we know you knew last week and you lied to us. That's my whole point. Like, I can't take any of these guys say seriously. It's like Korean state TV. Unless the Leafs approve it or unless Team Canada approves it, they're not going to say it. Just point blank. It's like, what am I even watching you for? And Chris Johnson, another one. I don't want to pick on this dude, but I guess I have to. Like, dude, you posted like 6 million words about the stupid ice. Like, how was the ice? Was the ice a problem? Oh, it's going to be like the AHL. Like, they sent him early to report on the ice. Like, good for you. Like, you know what I mean? Great, great reporting. Like, you guys are lucky I'm not a boss at that network that you guys are all at. I got to tell you. I'd be like, so this is what your insight is? That the fucking ice is just Zamboni? Thanks, Chris, for the insight. Fuck. You know what I mean? Like, just like, oh, yeah. Like, the I've had all these
pocket. To your point, you got to be a man. Like, if you call out somebody, and that's what you said, it became personal. So if you come out and attack a guy, you have to say sorry. And that's the thing. And I'm totally with you on that, too. I think it's crap. Like, if I did something to somebody and I was totally wrong, you say, you know what? I was wrong. I'm sorry. Like, you know what I mean? Totally. But these guys, they don't even have the stones to go back and do things like that, which I find appalling.
The hockey guys, you've seen it. The hockey media are the least accepting. I'm telling you, Babano. Like, I go to these Super Bowl media rows and stuff, and you know what I mean? Like, Adam Schefter's nice to me, and everybody's nice. Like, seriously, like, pretty much, like, everybody's nice. You know what I mean? Like, players are cool. Everybody's nice and stuff. Like, reporters, you know what I mean? The Seattle guy, like, the Seattle TV guys, big guy in Seattle. I didn't know him. I went up to him. I said, hey, Aaron, how you doing? I watch you on TV all the time. I live in Vancouver. He's like, oh, nice guy. Boom, right? Came on within 30 seconds. Like, yeah, let's do it. Boom. We did an interview. I filmed it. Like, you go into like the Toronto Maple Leafs or the Montreal Canadiens press box, man, you think that you are like trying, like you're in the Vatican and they're like, who are you? I remember, man, like Montreal was a little better. Montreal was a little bit more welcoming, but I remember I went in there naive. Like the first time I went to a Toronto Maple Leaf game in Toronto in the press box and stuff. I first got there and stuff, and I actually got a press pass, like, before they hated me. You know what I mean? So I had a press pass, and I went a couple of times, and I was like, man, these are the most miserable pricks I've ever met in my life. Like, the Damian Coxes and the Steve C, the Simmons cam, yeah. These guys. Like, they were just mean. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, even the Montreal guys were like, hey, welcome to the press box, Gabriel. I listen to your show. And, like, the French guys, hey, like, Michel Bergeron, come over here. You know what I mean? Hey, I like what you do. You should do this, but you should say this. And, like, the Toronto guys are just so, like, non-welcoming. Like, you know what I mean? It's just, so like, true. Jerks. Like, the Bruce Arthur and, like, Damian Cox was, like, really just, like, just not nice. Like, didn't do anything, like, mean to me. Just, I'm like, dude, you just tell. Like, it just bothers them when anybody, like, the new hockey media drives them crazy. It just drives them nuts. And then it really bothered them when they got some dude that's in San Diego that just flippantly did their job for them in 10 seconds online. But I got to tell you, Dr. Chow, like, I got to get Chow on the show. And I want to talk to him about that and get the list of how many people he's really pissed off. Because this guy, one. Like, really does seem yes. to upset people a lot. Like, and I it's funny because even on Media Row, I had people, ah, that effing Chow guy, this and that. And I told Chow, like, it was one of those, I was talking about him and Chow rolled up right behind me. And it was one of those, I had to keep on going. I was like, yeah, I was just talking about you. And like, it was like Ryan Leaf was just telling me how much he despises you. Like, Chow got, oh, yeah, here's the story, Gabe, for real. He started busting out pictures from 20 years ago and shit like that. I'm like, man. But Chow's a funny guy, but he got it right. But with that being stated, sucks for the Penguins, but battle, because as I stated, the Penguins were battling for a playoff spot.
It sucks for the Penguins, and it's going to make things only more difficult for them losing their captain, Sidney Crosby, for a month, knowing that they got the single most difficult remaining strength of schedule in the entire NHL based on the combined win percentage of their opponents. for the rest of the regular season. There is no team based on that that has a more difficult strength of schedule for Pittsburgh.
And so, he's so good on the special teams, Gabe, the power play and stuff. It's like a lot. Like when he's on their goal, like it's just.
Oh, yeah. If he would have played, we would have won just as a leader. Like he's basically like, yeah, like if Crosby played, didn't get hurt, Canada doesn't lose. I'm telling you guys right now.
Yeah, they've got tough games. They got two with Colorado. They play Tampa again. They play Carolina multiple times. They're playing Detroit. They're playing Buffalo, Dallas. There's a lot of tough teams remaining on this schedule for Pittsburgh, and I know they're in a playoff spot right now, but they are certainly not a sure thing to remain in a playoff spot, especially knowing this injury and knowing how tough they've got it from a schedule standpoint the rest of the way. Pittsburgh and Boston, by the way, have the toughest remaining strength of schedule based on the combined win percentage of their opponents. The easiest strength of schedule goes to all three California teams, believe it or not, have the easiest remaining strength of schedule based on the combined win percentage of their opponents. So Anaheim 30th, as far as most difficult, LA 31st, and San Jose 32nd, the easiest remaining strength of schedule.
They will not be making the playoffs, but you can't assume anything. Put it this way, I don't want to play the most difficult schedule. I get that, but you see it all the time every year in sports. People assume, oh, look at this, they have a softer schedule. Good team, bad teams get good late in the year often, right? You know what I mean? They had a bad year. They start to heat up late. The Sabres did that all the time. The Ducks, whatever. Like, so, like you said, like the Sharks won't be with Celebrini coming back here. They won't be fun to play against. You know what I mean? Like, there'll be a lot of teams that don't have great points in the standings that'll still be a bitch. Although there are some teams that are just sort of packed up and terrible. Man, the Rangers are bad, huh? 50 points. 50 points. All right, so looking at the playoff picture right now, and I hate the playoff picture in the NHL. It gives me a headache looking at it. It's so complicated and stupid. So you got the Atlantic, Tampa, Montreal, and Detroit. Tampa, let's say Tampa win this division. They're going to win the division, guys, right? They have two games in hand on Montreal, three games in hand on Detroit. They got six more points. I don't see a big collapse by the Tampa Bay Lightning coming here. So let's say Tampa wins. You got Montreal and Detroit battling. Man, but then you get these wild cards. They're just like, they're right there. The question is, can the Buffalo Sabres, these guys were on a freaking tear, right? Like 24-4, whatever the hell it was. Like they really played themselves into the playoff mix, but they're hanging on to a wild card spot right now. And there is a little bit of a cushion, actually. They got a 5-point lead on Columbus and Washington. I don't buy into Ottawa. Toronto, So it looks like, can the Buffalo Sabres keep this up? Boston Bruins, who's going to make the playoffs? Who's going to get the wild cards, Ken?
I'm going to tell you, I think Buffalo gets in. I think this is the year they finally get it done. I think they're going to play well in the second half of the season, Morenci. And think about it, too. If you look at the games, teams that are trailing them, too. So it's kind of interesting that the Capitals have played two more games of them, and they're down 5 points. So that's it. The Columbus is the only team they played one less, and they're 5 points back. But I think Buffalo, they're on a heater. They did lose two heading into the break. But other than that, they're absolutely great. And take a look at that home record, 17-8-3. They're fantastic. You go watch this team at home. They really show up. They show up early in the first period. And they've been battling everybody. So, yes, I think the Buffalo Sabres finally get off the schneid and make the playoffs.
I think they're going to get in tuba battle. The question is, we talked about the Penguins. If the Penguins fall out of the picture, let's say they fall out, somebody's got to step in. That would help Boston, obviously. And is Columbus, like, is it a Columbus or a Washington, I guess? But, Bano, that's the question. Because it ain't going to be Philadelphia, bro. Right? Philadelphia ain't making the playoffs. The Devils are too far behind right now as well. So, really, realistically, if we really want to cut to the chase here, the Leafs, the Senators, or the Columbus Blue Jackets, or the Washington Capitals. So Leafs, Sens, Jackets, Capitals. One of those four teams
what about
takes
the Panthers?
A Penguin spot.
You think the Panthers don't make the playoffs? They're really bad. They're far back right now.
The Panthers are in trouble.
They are. Big time.
They have a lot of real estate to gain. What's your pick, Babano, to make the playoffs?
Yeah, it's look, I think Pittsburgh's going to fall out. I certainly think someone could take the Penguin spot. I'm going to say the Jackets get in. I'm going to say the Columbus Blue Jackets find a way to get. I don't think the Islanders are a sturdy, steady team by any stretch of the imagination. They weren't playing great, you know, going into the break.
I trust the Islanders. I think the Islanders are getting in.
Yeah. The one thing that would concern me about Columbus, even though I like them, is that, they were just – everything was really coming together. The chemistry was good. They were defending better. Merzlikins was finally playing well in net and equaling what Jet Greaves, the other goaltender for them, was doing. And then the break hits, and you worry a little bit that disrupts some of their momentum and some of their rhythm. But I like the way they've played. They've responded, obviously, to the coaching change very well. They've clearly improved their structure on defense. And with them only being 4 points back of Boston in the wild card race, 4 points back of the Islanders for third in the Metro, I think there's a chance they can do it.
Can't believe I'll be pulling for the Boston Bruins, but I actually kind of like this Bruin team. It's funny because they don't have that Jack Edwards guy who's doing their games anymore, so it doesn't bother me much on TV either. But this Bruin team has been scrappy. They're plus 110 right now to make the playoffs, and I don't think they're about to fall apart either. Buffalo are minus 370 to make the playoffs right now.
Bad price.
Buffalo are minus 370. So the assumption is that they're in. The Columbus Blue Jackets are minus 130. You can bet plus 100 for the Jackets. The New York Islanders, speaking of the New York Islanders, minus 170 to make the playoffs. I don't think the Islanders are going to fall apart. Schaefer's only going to keep on getting better as the year goes on. They're minus 170 to make the playoffs, plus 135 right now. And what are the Columbus Blue Jackets? Yeah, minus 130 to make the playoffs if you think they're going to get in, which I don't think they do. And let me, I'm going to fade the Penguins. Wow. This is the bet. So they got 5 points. This is the bet here right now. The Pittsburgh Penguins are plus 240 not to make the playoffs. The book hasn't adjusted. You had the Penguins at minus 330 to make the playoffs right now.
It's too high.
And yes, I don't even think they realize. It's how little they pay attention to hockey. That Sidney Crosby's going to be out a month for them right now. I would take the plus 240. I think the Penguins are going to fade. So the question is, who's going to slide in? And I don't have to worry about who's going to be. It'll be one of those, one of these other teams. So that's the bet here, guys. Pittsburgh Penguins plus 240, not to make the playoffs. And the people at Pittsburgh, well, whatever, you guys can celebrate your gold medal win and it ruined your Penguin season. There's the irony in it. It goes both ways. Washington Capitals are plus 150 to make the playoffs. Capitals are another one. They got a bump last year after the Four Nations. They have Russians on their team, and Russians don't play in this stuff, right? So Ovechkin, they're always rested, and they always got a chip on their shoulder and stuff. They had a few guys in the tournament this time, but not that many. So the Capitals will be – I think the Capitals will have a little of a spark here. The Sharks are plus 220 to make the playoffs. I don't think they do, but, Celebrini is going to, be hell-bent on, finishing the season strong.
I'll tell you, Gabe, the Sharks, they've only played 55 games, right? So that's the thing is Utah is 57. They have 58.6 back of the Mammoth. I think it's very possible that the Sharks could actually make the playoffs.
They're not, they're there. They're lingering. You said Babano, they have the easiest schedule. You're right, Ken. They got 58 points. They're lingering right now. LA Kings only have 60. A team, though, that started to put it together a little bit. They lost the last two games was Nashville. Nashville is in the mix considering what a disaster it felt like for them all year. But surprisingly, the Nashville Predators aren't all that far off. They're 4 points out of a playoff spot. You got Utah. I think Utah are the ones that won't make it. What's Utah's number not to make it? I think Utah will fall apart. I think the Kings will pass them, and I think the Ducks can get hot down the stretch. So you know what? I'll fade. I'm going to fade Utah here.
Utah's pretty good. They're one of those teams that you just – they're lingering. Hey, they're also 7-3 in their last 10, other than the Ducks who are 8-2. They played pretty well going into the break. I don't know, man. Ducks, Kings, Mammoth. We have 4 points separating these guys. Gabe, I don't know about Nashville, too. I agree with your take. They were starting to play really good hockey. They look like a team like the old Nashville Predators, playing really tight, better defensively, scoring key goals. But you know what? I'm going to take a shot at the Sharks. You know what,
too? Saros had a good good Olympic, too.
He did.
He actually played well. Like, he did. I really question well. Him.
Yeah.
Yeah, thing with Saros, it's all or nothing with him, right? He can be terrible, but if he's good, he's good. And if I'm Nashville, I'm a little bit enthused by this. And you know what? We got a good Saros. Like, we, you know, we could actually start to win some games. Same thing with Elias Pettersson with the Canucks, in which he played well in the Olympics. He was good. And good enough that it's renewed interest around the league in him right now. He's going to get traded. I'd like to see, do they have that what team next? No way. I'm looking here. What team will a player get traded to? I'm going to try to, if I'm not, I'm going to look for this over the next couple of days, but Pettersson is going to get traded. Like, the Evander Kane's about to get, the Canucks are trading everybody. Like, the Canucks are wide open for business. And I don't know, like, which contender's going to get Pettersson. There's been a lot of talk about Carolina a lot over and over. The Seattle Kraken's name has come up a lot, but I know there's a lot of teams now that are interested in Pettersson. The only thing is, it's complicated because the dude makes $12 million a year. There's a lot of money to pay him, right? That, you know, was, he had these great years. He kind of hit a wall and stuff, but I think a change of scenery will do him good. I don't know, like, he's a weird dude, though. All these Swedes are weird. I warned everybody before the tournament, too. I freaking like Sweden, and I said they always have drama on their team. And you see now all the Swedes are, like, hating on the coach and bitching about the ice time and the playing time and stuff like that. I like, it's bizarre world. Like, I don't understand why the Swedes are so chaotic and they can't get on the same page, but they just can't. So, yeah, all these hockey futures are there for the taking right now, guys. I'm going to post them, but for people tuning in, the Pittsburgh Penguins will not make the playoffs. Click it, like, sooner rather than later. I'm surprised that they're still minus three. They do have a five-point lead. So I get it. Even without Crosby, you got a five-point lead, but they're not going to be able to sustain this without Sidney Crosby. Reality is going to kick in. And I do think the teams below them can gain ground and do some damage. So, Cam, yesterday you were all eager for an NHL pick. Better be ready now. You were 24 hours in advance.
I was. I'm going to take the Utah Mammoth tonight, Gabe, and I'm going to stick to my guns against Colorado. We'll see the experiment out of the gate. I really want to take Buffalo. I haven't made a decision on that one yet. One favorite I do like, I think the Kings are going to beat the Golden Knights. It's up to $1.37 on FanDuel. I like that. Man, Oilers Ducks should have a lot of goals, but 6.5. I wait for that game to start. That's what I'm leaning to. Hate to say it, Gabe. I don't like to go with the Jets on the road against the Canucks, but yeah, I kind of lean that way too. But I am definitely, games I've bet, I've taken the Kings and the Utah Mammoth.
Yeah, Vancouver are weird because Vancouver were sort of an automatic fade at home, right? They've been terrible, yet they've been practicing for the last week, this team. Like, you know, they didn't have too many. I think they had three guys at the Olympics, but following the Canucks, they've been pretty gung-ho over the last, like, week and a half or so in practice. Like, as soon as they were allowed to practice, they did. And they were going hard, and everyone's about to get traded, so it's one of these showcase. Like, I'm just saying, Cam, there's guys on the Canucks that know they're about to get traded.
Yep.
And I don't think it means that, like, oh, yeah, they're mailing it in about to get traded. No, like, if you think about it, if you're Evander Kane, what's better than you going and cracking some heads tonight and scoring
two goals? Exactly, and going to a team that's a contender.
Exactly. And it's like, oh, yeah, you know, you want to make, like, if you're Evander Kane, you're like, yeah, I want to play so well tonight. I want the Florida Panthers, the Lightning to pick me up. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's contenders out there that are looking for players. You want to remind them. Yeah, yeah. I'm your guy. I want to get out of here. I want to be on a contending team, and I'm playing well. So don't forget that. That's my little thing about guys on the Canucks. I get the feeling they're showcasing themselves. A little bit of a trap game tonight, I think, here with Winnipeg, because everyone's like, oh, Vancouver sucked. First game back. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of trappish. I'll disagree. My pick, I'm going to go Captain Chalk here. This is a George Kurtz special. Give me the Colorado Avalanche.
The George Kurtz special.
I'm going to pick on Utah.
Well, we'll see what happens. Like this could go either one of two ways. These guys come out angry as hell and they beat up Utah.
Yeah, I'm not betting against Nate McKinnon and Kel McCarr tonight, Kim. Like these guys are going to be pissed. Like
they might be. I'll tell you one prop
what do you mean,
too.
Might
guys?
Be. What do you mean might be? Yeah, you know, yeah, Nate yeah, McKinnon yeah. is obsessed.
I gotta be honest with you though. I don't like. I think McKinnon's hurt. Like I think there's something wrong with him. When I watch that game, he doesn't look like he's 100% in that game. I'm going to tell you one player I think is going to be dangerous tonight. Mark Scheifele. You talk about the Jets, this guy being off Team Canada, you'd want to talk about another guy fired up. I'd look at his props tonight against the Canucks.
Yeah, the snubs and players that didn't make their respective Olympic team. Yeah, they could have a little point to prove. That's something to maybe consider if you're betting props. I agree with that.
Yeah, I thought that after they got snubbed and it didn't work. when they actually did get
when they
snubbed.
Actually made the announcements, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But no, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. No, there's certain dudes like Bedard will be an interesting one down the stretch now too, where this time I would expect him to play for Team Canada and the Worlds and stuff. So end the season strong, play for Team Canada, and then sort of, you know, you go into next year because this World Cup thing is, like, going to be right around the corner, man. Like, there's, like, basically we can get over this Olympics right now, but Hockey Canada basically in the summertime is going to have to already start looking ahead here. It's, you know, we get through this NHL year. It's one NHL year, and you got the World Cup of Hockey. So decisions are going to have to be made. Is John Cooper still the coach of Team Canada? I wouldn't run him personally. I wouldn't say, listen, you didn't win a gold medal, so you're fired. But, you know, I don't know, does he want it, right? And if he doesn't want it, you know what I'm saying? Like, all right, people are talking about Paul Maurice, but I don't know. Paul Maurice isn't a very modern thinking coach, in my opinion.
What about Brendan Moore?
No, he's the last, like,
I
why,
that.
Like, what?
Brendan Moore is like, pretty successful. Like, you know, he's done a pretty
good job
there.
You need skill, and like, we need modernization of the game. We don't need to rehash like old school Canada hockey in the
Olympics.
Who's
the young coach then, like, in the league? Like, who's a creative young thinker?
Martin St. Louis, Montreal Canadiens.
That's it. I don't mind that at all.
Actually played for Team Canada. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's got the credibility. He's played for them. He's a Stanley Cup winner. Offensive-minded coach. You know what I'm saying? He's different. Like, he's not that, you know, like, Brendan Moore, Maurice, what's the difference, Cam? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what, like, I don't know. Maurice maybe can, you know, Maurice pushes some modern buttons a little bit, but I personally think we need to modernize the program a bit and not just go back to, you know, like, to me, Rob Brendan Moore is like Sean McDermott. Like, when the Carolina Hurricanes lose, Brendan Moore's answer is, we need to work harder. It's like, we're already working hard. Like, it wasn't hard work because we lost. Like,
the execution. Yeah.
No, it's like, we don't have the talent. Like, we don't have, like, whatever. Like, there's a sort of or execution's the other excuse they use. Yeah. Right? The other big, old-time coaches, all the football coaches, man, will always do that. Wasn't a bad play call. It was the execution. Like, McDermott always talked about that with the defense. Like, oh, we didn't execute. Well, it's been 7 years of you not executing. Right?
Time to execute.
Yeah.
One thing about those guys, I like your point, though, and I think one thing that even Maurice and other guys will do when you watch these teams play, like, the issue we had with Cooper was he didn't trust a lot of guys. You need a coach that's going to play. If you're going to be on these teams, you got to roll out four lines. Like, you got to keep these other guys in the third and fourth line into the game. You can't just run your stars into the ground. That was a big problem.
Like, I saw Rick Tocchet was one of the head lead assistants of Team Canada. What could Rick Tocchet do? Like, seriously, I know Rick Tocchet's coaching style. I saw it up close here. Like, his coaching style is just to practice harder. Like, that doesn't – when everybody is skilled, it's not hard work. Like, you know what I mean? Like, John Wooden, like the great John Wooden, the coach, that was why he had that line. Don't confuse activity for achievement. Right?
Remember what you said, too, Gabe, before the Olympics started? It's kind of interesting. Remember when we had our first show – and you're talking about Team USA loose in practice, joking around, where Canada's running like army drills. It's kind of funny. They ended up winning the gold medal. You know, having more fun,
right.
I guess.
In hindsight, you never know which way it goes. You're like, oh, there's more serious. But you could tell all week. You could see, Cam, all week,
they were
the
tense.
USA players were having more fun.
Exactly.
They were smiling on the bench. They would celebrate. Like Canada was more of like a chore. It was like, okay, like we scored next. Like Nate McKinnon, are you here to have fun? No. I was like, all right. You ended up losing and not having fun. Like, you know what I mean? At some point, yeah, you got to enjoy. Like, you're right. That's a good point. And I brought it up earlier too. And I didn't know which way it would go. I thought it was good that Canada was serious at the time. But like, I realized after, I was like, you know, all this seriousness and stuff, or like, maybe it would have been good to have a young Bedard on the ice, 3-on-3, just flying around, right? Matthew Schaefer, I don't care that he's 18. Like, seriously, he's better than Drew Doughty is. No offense to Doughty. You know what I mean? Like, and the younger guys would have broken the mood up a little bit. Like, when you know, we talk about it in the golf, like, the young guys are too dumb to know. Like, Celebrini was too young and didn't feel pressure. He was like, yeah, whatever, dude, I'm a hockey player. And he was our best player. And he's 19. Right, like that whole, so yeah, speaking of which, we'll wrap it up. What about the golf, Cam? What do you got? I know you'll be on TV tonight, but any golf picks, or you, Babano, any golf picks?
Yeah, I got golf picks. I'll just give you a couple because I'll do more. Tune in tonight with Gabe and Wetzel, 8 o'clock Eastern, in-game live. We'll do some golf and some late-night hockey, too, when we're on the show. But I'm going to take, Aaron Rye is one of the prices I think is great at 42-1. He's playing really, really well. This course, Gabe, PGA National, tons of water almost on every single hole. You got to be a great iron player. This is where irons matter more than driver. Guys, I've seen them blow 9-shot leads. Ian Poulter taking a 9 on a par 3. Water can kill you. Rye at 42. And Gabe, I hate to do it, my Cole Kane. The Cole Kane addiction is back. Eric Cole lost in a playoff in this tournament when it was the Honda Classic a couple years ago to Chris Captain Kirk. He's 80-1. Those are two picks. More with Morenci tonight.
Babano?
The Nico Echevarria at 50-1. My golf guy likes him quite a bit as some good value. And going for some longer shots here. John Vanderlaan at 200-1 and AJ Ewart at 300-1.
Oh my God.
Some real long shots.
He's hitting the bargain bin there.
Yes.
Wow. Wow.
You agree, Cam? You got to do that a lot.
I know who these guys are, Gabe, but a lot of them are like literally like 250, 301, like right at the bottom of the betting board. I like Babano's guy. He goes deep.
Yeah, golf is back.
Yep.
Golf is back. WBC will be starting next week, too. Man, there's a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff going on. All right. Thanks, Babano. Thanks, Cam. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Take the Pittsburgh Penguins not to make the playoffs at +240. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.